Numbers chapter 22. We'll be getting to our text here in just a moment. Friend, indeed, there are no blessings like godly friendships. Webster defines a friend as a person on intimate or affectionate terms with another. I like the definition that one person said. A friend is someone who knows us and likes us anyway. Someone who comes in where everyone else goes out. Robert Edwards said, a true friend never gets in your way unless you happen to be going down. Friends, we could spend time this evening speaking from the Bible about different aspects of our friendship, such as the need for godly friends. Psalm 1 and verse 1 talks of the blessed man. Blessed is the man who doesn't have ungodly, sinful, and scornful counselors for his friends. That's what we get from that verse. We see the earnest warning in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, not to be deceived, that evil company corrupts good habits or morals. But we could spend time talking about when friends let us down, such as we see in Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint, is what the passage says. But where we want to spend our time this evening is when our friends become our enemies, particularly when sin gets in the way. Friends, simply put, when we are in sin, when we're living in sin, we are out of our minds. Luke 15 talks about there being a moment in the lost son, the prodigal son as we call him, when he realized his condition. Here he was penniless, he was friendless, and he was ready to eat the pods, the slop, basically, that the swine were eating. And the Bible says that he came to himself. The young man, up until this point, had been out of his mind. He wasn't himself. He wasn't who he should have been. He came to himself before there was any help for him. Friends, when we are sinning, when we are living in sin, we're not who we're supposed to be. We're not sober-minded. We're not rational. We're not watchful. We're not vigilant. We're not encouraging. We're not helpful. But rather, we are irrational. We are stubborn. We are confused. We are irritated, angry, wrathful, just to name a few. I want us to look here in Numbers 22 at Balaam. The Bible says of him that he was mad, out of his mind because of his sin. And yet 2 Peter 2 and verse 16 says of him that he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. One of the consequences, friends, of his madness, of his sin, was that he was sure that his faithful companion, this donkey, had turned against him. Balaam thought for sure that his donkey was there to lead him off course, to hinder his progress, to keep him from fame and fortune, which was sure to be his if he went and prophesied against the children of Israel. So let's look here in Numbers chapter 22, verses 28 and 29 to begin. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the donkey, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. Balaam, in his sin, found that his sin had caused God to send the angel of the Lord as an adversary against him. Although at the beginning, Balaam couldn't see it. All he thought was sure, he was sure that the donkey had turned on him. So he beat it. And in Numbers 22, 28, and 29, the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and the donkey said, what have I done to you that you have hit me, that you have struck me these three times? Notice Balaam's response. Because you have abused me. You have mocked me. He says, I wish I had a sword right now and I'd kill you. He was prepared to kill the donkey, the one and only one who had been responsible for his life being spared until this time. And why? His friend, the donkey, deviated from the course, and you'll remember. Kind of looking at Balaam, we see this throughout Numbers 22. We see these things concerning Balaam. Sin had confused him. Sin had confused Balaam by throwing him off course. He blamed it on the donkey. Sin had hurt Balaam. His foot was crushed up against this wall. Who do you blame it on? The donkey. Sin had blinded Balaam. He couldn't see what the donkey saw. The angel of the Lord standing ready to strike him down with sword drawn. He blamed it on the donkey. Sin had angered Balaam. He took his anger out on the donkey. Sin had made Balaam stubborn. He blamed it on the donkey. Sin had hardened Balaam to the point that he did not even acknowledge that there was something different about the donkey when he began to speak. This didn't surprise Balaam. Does that not surprise anybody else? This didn't surprise Balaam. He was hardened to that point that he didn't even recognize that difference. Instead, he had an opportunity to cast blame on the donkey. The whole time, the donkey is steering Balaam out of harm's way. The way of Balaam was perverse in the eyes of the angel of the Lord, and Balaam was outraged and prepared to kill this loyal companion. The donkey had faithfully served him, and there was a relationship there that Balaam knew the tendencies of his animal. It was strange to him that the donkey was acting in such a way, but it angered him. But friends, I'm in no way suggesting that animals can pass and create friendships more meaningful and more lasting than friendships with humans. Although I do know some pets that are far more loyal than some friends. What I am suggesting is that we can learn much from looking at this donkey from a spiritual standpoint. Sometimes it can seem that our friends are turning against us, especially when we are in sin. Friends, doesn't it hurt sometimes when someone says to us, someone we're close to says to us, you're wrong. You need to change. You need to clean up your act. Friends, that's a tough pill to swallow. In Proverbs 27 and verse 6, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Friends, when the donkey hurt Balaam, it wasn't because he wasn't being loyal, but rather to the contrary. The donkey was being loyal to Balaam. It was saving his life. There are friends, true friends, and we'll get to true friendship here in a moment. Friends, when they tell us that we're in the wrong, that we need to clean up our act, they're looking out for us. They're trying to save our souls. In Proverbs 27 and verse 17, the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Friends, our friends, even when they tell us things that hurt, that are hard to hear, even when they're perceived as enemies, they can sharpen us up. They can make us better people. Of course, probably one of the most famous passages, Paul writing to the Galatians, showing that someone had bewitched them. They had been bewitched by another gospel, which was not another. Someone had led them down a path that they didn't want to be going down. They were heading back into the world. And Paul said in Galatians 4 and verse 16, he asked them, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Friends, how many times have friends become our enemies? Have we allowed them to become our enemies because they tell us the truth? Sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? Have I become your enemies? Your enemy, because I tell you the truth. Friend, the whole time, Balaam is thinking his friend, the donkey, is his enemy, the donkey. There are some very powerful lessons here about the blessings of friendship. Even when we perceive that our friends are out to get us, that our friends have become our enemies. Friends, this begs the question, who are our true friends? 4 points in the lesson is yours. Who are our true friends? Number one, our true friend is that person who is interested in me, not what I have or who I am, or that is what position I happen to be in. That person who is interested in me and not what I have or who I am. Friends, I do not intend to try to prove that the donkey had some kind of special sense about Balaam, about who he was or what he was. The donkey was just a dumb animal. However, the donkey was the only one who was trying to steer Balaam off the self-destructive course he was on. You'll remember from verse 21 there. In Numbers 22, look at it. Look at that for a moment. And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. You remember there that Balaam had saddled that donkey, went with the princes of Moab. We don't have record that the princes woke up in the morning and said, well, you know, what did the Lord say? I don't remember. They didn't ask that. It seemed good enough to them to know that Balaam was coming to do what they wanted him to do. Balaam also, the Bible tells us, verse 22, he took two servants with him, neither of whom, it seems, had any useful suggestions, especially when things started to go wrong. Folks, those aren't friends. Those aren't friends like we need. I would much rather have a friend that wasn't the brightest light bulb in the box, like the dolphin, but was interested in me being faithful to God, rather than any number of friends who have no problem if I violate my beliefs in pursuit of the passing pleasures of sin. Friends, you remember the example of Jesus in John chapter 4. He's tired. As he's going to talk to the woman at the well of Samaria, he's tired, he's hungry, he's thirsty, yet he took time to visit with the Samaritan woman at the well and to explain to her the good news that he was the Messiah. This woman who the Jews wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. You remember the disciples came back from buying bread and they saw that Jesus talked to this woman, and the Bible says of them, they marveled. They couldn't believe their eyes that Jesus was sitting here talking with this woman. And it seems that she also had experienced some rejection, at least some, by her own community. And yet Jesus showed the example of being interested in a person not because of who she was, not because of what she had, but because he glorified God. A true friend is eager to see that God is glorified in your life and my life. And they're not going to accept anything else. In Proverbs 12 and verse 26, the Bible says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Friends, is it the opposite also true? That we should choose our friends carefully because the way of the righteous will lead them closer to God? Shouldn't we choose our friends wisely to help us find and grow closer to our God, our Father in heaven? And yet it can seem sometimes that our friends are betraying us in some way when they don't seem on board with our plans, especially when our plans are sinful. The true friend will not see what you can do for them. They won't see you as merely a resource to be lost, but they will be interested in you surviving spiritually. Just like the donkey was steering Balaam out of the way of the wrath of the Lord. Number two, a true friend is constant and loyal. Look at what the donkey says. The donkey said to Balaam, in Numbers 22 and verse 30, am not I thine donkey, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? In the original language, friends, the message is clear. In the text that Balaam had this donkey probably since he was a very young man. They had been through a lot together. You think about growing up with a particular animal. Knowing what that animal was always there when you needed it. Always ready to help, just like a constant and loyal friend. Yet because Balaam was interested in his own glory, because Balaam was interested in his own honor, in his place, that friendship, if we can call it that, was strained to the point where Balaam wanted to kill his faithful companion. From this we can see, friends, that there is a blessing in constant and loyal friends. It's a good thing that the donkey didn't do as some of us do and say, well, that's how it's going to be. Fine, you're going to treat me like that? Well, that's it. You find your own ride. We're done. That's not what the donkey did. That's not what he said. Rather, the questions of the donkey caused Balaam to begin to think, didn't he? begin to think about what it was doing and where it was at and where it was going. Friends, true friends, they're constant, they're loyal. They know us and they like us anyway. So often we as Christians, but certainly we as people, aren't as patient as we should be with our friends. We don't exercise the fruit of the Spirit, that is long-suffering, Galatians 5 and verse 22. Instead, it's just easier to write them off. I'm done with you. Yet when you have friendships that you've invested time in, that you've put effort in, that you love them, you put compassion into these friendships, then you realize that even when your friends perceive you as an enemy, it is still a time to be loyal, still a time to be constant. Friends, we should do this as Christians. Because this is what the God who gave us His Son does. Thank the Lord of heaven that He is constant. That He is changeless. There is no variation or shadow of turning. James 1 and verse 17. He remains faithful even as we are faithless. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13. Paul had to write some very difficult letters to the Corinthians, didn't he? He had to write a very difficult letter to the Galatians, but he did so knowing full well that they were in sin. He knew full well that they might receive those letters badly. That most likely, most there did not want to hear what he had to say. Yet in all things, he wanted them to know that he was interested in them doing what was right in God's sight. He loved them that much. Fair weather friend is just the exact opposite. It's a friendship of convenience for them, but as soon as things get tough, they're out of the door and usually stabbing you in the back. Proverbs writer in Proverbs 20 and verse 19 says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." Proverbs 19 and verse 7 says, "All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him." Oh, how we need more friends who will stand up and show themselves to not be fair weather friends, but to be constant and loyal. Number three, a true friend is encouraging. A true friend is encouraging. Balaam felt abused by this animal. Felt mocked. He felt hurt. He felt betrayed. But yet this animal that stayed the madness of the prophet, this animal reminded him with an encouraging word. It's like the animal said, "In all the years that we've been together, have I ever been inclined to do something like this?" Friends, he was not the enemy. Although, as we've said so many times before, the sins had blinded Balaam from seeing the true source of his woe. Yet when we look at what the donkey said, it was really encouraging. It was rational and soothing to Balaam, so much so that all he can say is, "No, you've never done that. That is, you've never given me any cause to treat you the way that I've treated you." In many ways, friends, encouragement is a lost art these days, isn't it? Some forget to do it, some neglect to do it, and some will not do it. However, it's essential, friends. It's essential for us as Christians to uplift a brother or sister so that they may carry on in what they know to be right. There were servants like Timothy who were sent to different places in order to encourage the Christians there concerning their faith. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2. Encouragement can be an example. Encouragement can be in word. It can be in giving of time and sharing. But always, friends, always, encouragement is in servanthood. Serving one another. What encouragement really does, friends, is help us to remember that Christianity is real. Christianity is possible to live each day, even when members of the family of God are in sin, or in depression, or in despair. It reminds us that we have a hope not of this life. It reminds us not to set our eyes on earthly things, but seeking those things which are above, where Christ is. Our true friends will be encouraging to us. Number four, a true friend is honest and candid. A true friend is honest and candid. Look at 2 Peter 2 and verse 16. We mentioned it a few moments ago. Let's look at it again. 2 Peter 2 and verse 16. Speaking of Balaam, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb donkey speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Friends, Balaam was rebuked by the donkey for his iniquity. Our true friends, not our enemies, will tell us the truth knowing that our best interest is at stake. Though it may hurt, though it may hurt our feelings to receive that criticism, remember that it's because they love you that they even said anything at all. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6 tells us that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Friends, notice that. And don't let that go by the wayside. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Why would a true friend purposefully hurt us? They wouldn't. Except in the case they see us heading down the wrong path. I think of the relationship of Jonathan and David. How open and candid they were with one another. I think of what Nathan did for David. Although Nathan was a prophet of God, what he did for David was true friendship. In rebuking him the way that he did. Hopefully, friends, we'll have friends like that. That'll be open, honest, and candid with us. In Psalm 141 and verse 5, we read, "Let the righteous strike me." Let the righteous strike me, the psalmist says. It shall be a kindness, and let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. What about Peter and Paul? In Galatians 2, 11 through 14, it says that Paul says there, he writes to the Galatians that it was necessary for him to withstand Peter to the face. He was carried away with Judaistic teachers. And so Paul withstood him to the face. This wasn't something done in private either, friends. It was done in a public manner. Peter had an opportunity to write a couple of books of his own, didn't he? He had an opportunity to blast Paul, but he didn't. He called the writings of Paul scripture. Something we can learn from. Something we should take to heart because, after all, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Friends, I don't like conflict. I know very few people who do. Yet when something is wrong, that needs to be addressed, that needs correcting in our lives, in my life, in your life, as friends, as Christian brothers and sisters, it is our responsibility, your responsibility, my responsibility to be honest, to be candid with those who we love and appreciate. I want God, and we all should, I want God to defeat me in what is sinful. I want God to care enough about me that I might not go through with my sinful aspirations. Yet I recognize that the members of the church are one of the ways I should hope God will defeat me in what is sinful. The members of the Lord's church ought to come to me. Josh, you ought not be doing this. You need to straighten up. You need to stop that. You need to do better. You can do better. That's one of the ways that God is going to defeat me in what is sinful. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Friends, we need the church and we need our friends to help us. God has never condoned the Lone Ranger approach to Christianity.
He established the church for a reason. It's for you and I to help one another. Lift one another up. Encourage one another along the way and to be candid with one another when we see sin. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Again, we read there, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. A true friend can sharpen our mood. A true friend can sharpen us with moral support. A true friend can sharpen our mental composure. And friends, a true friend, by his rebuke and by his honesty, can sharpen our character. The friend that entices you to do that which is wrong, that's not your friend. It sounds cliche, friends. It sounds old-fashioned, but it's remarkable how many friends we have even in the Lord's church who are only interested in us because of what we can do for them or that they may corrupt us in some way. Friends, remember that a true friend is honest and candid. I want us to look together at two passages from the New Testament. And the lesson is yours. In Galatians chapter 6, turn with me there if you will. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes to the Galatian brethren, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." There are some times that we must be perceived as the bad guys to one of our friends if they're not doing what is right. There is a time when in trying to help a brother see the error of his ways that we might be thought of as their enemies. Yet Galatians chapter 6 tells us when we do that, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. We are loving our neighbors as ourselves. We are showing the compassion that we would want others to show to us. James chapter 5. 19 and 20 is our second passage that I'd like for us to consider. James 5, 19 and 20. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Friends, these words ought to encourage every one of us. To encourage others to turn from sin. There are times when all of us, like Balaam, stray from what we know is right in order to chase after that which is sinful. Yet, what a great blessing to be able to have friends, faithful companions that can help stay our madness. We have the opportunity to save our Christian family from death. Friends, if there is anything this world needs more of, it is men and women who know what it means to be a true friend. Too many people think of friendship and love in a BFF middle school mindset. We're best friends until something happens, then it's like we never were friends at all. A friend loves at all times, Proverbs 17:17, and a brother is born for adversity. If the goal for us as Christians is to be more like Jesus, does it not stand then to reason that we should behave more like Him with regard to our relationships? Not everyone who tells you the truth is your enemy. We shouldn't gossip about one another and talk bad about one another. The people here this evening, hearing this lesson, should remember that we need each other to help each other and encourage one another, and yet thwart one another when our plans are wrong in God's sight. And to be encouraging what is right and what is good and what is holy like the God we serve. Let's put away our Bible. Pack out our songbook. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. We've got one other question for us to answer. Two, maybe. Are you a friend of Jesus tonight? We may be sitting here as we contemplate that question, and we may think, yes, I'm a friend of Jesus. Is Jesus your friend? How do we know if Jesus is our friend? It's simple, isn't it? Jesus himself gives us the acid test. John 14, or rather John 15 and verse 14. Jesus says there, "You are my friends if you do what I have commanded you. If you do whatever I command you." Friend, if you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you're not a friend of Jesus. You're not doing as he commanded, you're not a friend of Jesus. He himself said that. Friend, are you here tonight desiring to be a friend of Jesus Christ? The one that bled and died upon the cross for the remission of your sins. Do you desire his friendship? If that's the case, friend, you must obey his commands. He commands us that we must believe that he is. That he is the one, the Christ, the Messiah that came to this earth. That he shed his blood for the remission of our sins. You must, friend, he commands us to repent. Luke 13 and verse 3. To confess him before men, Matthew 10, 31 and 32, 32 and 33 rather. Romans 10, 9 and 10. He commands us, friends, that we be baptized, Mark 16, 15 and 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism is a necessary ingredient, friend. It is necessary. It is commanded of Jesus, of God in the flesh. Would you obey those commands tonight and be a friend of Jesus? Are you here this evening having been a friend of Jesus, but you are no longer? Would you be his friend again? Would you come home? He waits for you with open arms. Friend, if you have a need to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, or if you just need the prayers of the church, we ask that you come now while we stand and while we sing.